Son, why hast thou done to us? Behold, in sorrow, thy father and I have been seeking thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, in this period after the Epiphany, the Church continues to give us aspects of the early life of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, the Holy Family. Today's Gospel focuses on the time during the Paschal season when the Holy Family made their annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem. On the return trip, the men and women traveled separately, so Jesus, Joseph, and Mary each believed that Jesus was with the other. This uncertainty may easily have come about because Jesus was no longer a child who would travel with the women, nor yet advanced enough in years to be considered eligible to accompany the men. He was neither child nor man. Their sorrow knew no bounds. When they discovered Jesus was nowhere to be found among the pilgrims, of course, being God, Jesus was not really lost, but to Joseph and Mary, who, saintly as they were, still had only human comprehension. He was missing, and they did not know what happened to him. Upon their return to Jerusalem, they found him in the temple, listening to the doctors of the law and asking them questions. My dear friends, this is certainly a beautiful mystery. Where did the child go, and why did he go? It's a beautiful mystery because it shows many aspects. First of all, many people tell us in various revelations that this was a very severe test for Our Lady. She thought she had lost Jesus already, and it was through her fault. I'm sure Joseph, being the man of the house, also felt guilty too. So this was a very human mystery for them to have lost a child. Anybody in this world who has lost a child for a little while knows what they have gone through. And they were human, and they didn't fully understand. And then, of course, they meet Jesus, and they find him among the doctors of the law. Who could ever imagine? For 3 days, think about it, 3 days, there he was, asking questions, right? Asking questions and answering questions from the various learned scholars of the Judaic law. I'm sure they were amazed. And when you think about it, we all should imagine ourselves what Jesus was saying, and knowing that he was God, God Almighty. And here he was astounding these doctors of the law on various aspects of the law that they knew so well. And yet this child, how did he know these things? I am sure that they were thereafter forever reminded of this child. Who knows in 20 years what these doctors were doing? Some of them may have died already. I like to think that one or two of them took Jesus's side, right? And we know that a few of them, Paul's teacher, was among them. And later on, I'm sure he became a disciple of Jesus. And of course, they would have to be if they will truly learn it and realize what this child was like. And then, of course, they had followed him later on and realized he was the child who they knew from years back. And here he now was performing miracles, doing great things in Israel. So let us hope that some of them were forever converted to him. And Mary asked the child, "Son, why hast thou done so to us? Behold, in sorrow thy father and I have been seeking thee." Jesus replied, "How is it that you saw me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Certainly that's a very interesting answer. Not only interesting, certainly supernatural answer. I must be about my father's business. Jesus was about the father's business. The father wanted him there to teach these elders of the Jews, to some things about the coming Messiah of whom Jesus was and what he meant for the Jewish people. It was the Father's will that Jesus instruct these men so that they would have no excuse later on for not believing Jesus. So we know also from John 3:16, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that all those who believe in him may have life everlasting. So this is what the Father wants. The Father's role in this is very, very important. This is the Father's will. And Jesus tells us later on, I always do the will of the Father. So this is a message for all of us, for us to always do the will of the Father. We can never be happy unless we're doing God's will. God's will is expressed to us, of course, in the commandments, in our duties and state in life, and in the various circumstances of our life. So if we accept whatever God sends to us, we will be very happy and rejoice. St. Paul tells us, to those who love God, all things work for good. Everything that happens to you in your life, everything, all things work for good. All come from God, everything. And God wills things for us, and we have to accept them. And if we accept them, then we'll be truly happy. To those who love God, all things work for good. Romans 8:28. A most important quote, my friends, especially in these days when we see difficulties and we have difficulties in our life and we don't understand a lot of the different problems we have, our sickness, our poverty, or whatever. And we think that God doesn't care for us. He does. To those who love God, all things work for good. And we see, and this is the key to understanding St. Paul today, because he tells us that charity is the bond of perfection. Colossians 3:14. Charity is the bond of perfection. And he tells us, put ye on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, benignity, goodness, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, even to the Lord hath forgiven you, so you do also. Huh? Colossians 3:12-13. This is a most important quote, and it's, of course, it's here today because this is the feast of the Holy Family. And the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, had the bond of affection. And every family, an imitation of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, should practice those virtues, the bond of affection with the various virtues of humility and modesty and patience and so on. And then the house, the family becomes a holy place. It'd be very important for you in these days to have a model picture of the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, in your house, so that they would bless your family. Pray to it each day, to Our Lady, to St. Joseph and Jesus, that they would bless your family and bring down many blessings on the families. It's so important for these days when we have such difficulty and families have such troubles and so many families are split up and we have no families without fathers and mothers and so on. And it's certainly a nightmare out there with various combinations. I talk to some people and they have, you know, various mothers and fathers and different father, different mother. And it's just beyond belief. So we want to see the family stay together. And we need to have the families pray for one another. Right? Did you not know I must be about my Father's business? And what is the Father's business? As I've already said to you, the Father's business is the saving of souls. All right? The Father wants souls to be saved. And that's why Jesus left his parents for 3 days and spent the time with the doctors. All right? St. Bede tells us about the meaning of this. He blames her not. Jesus does not blame his mother because she sought him as her son. but forces her to raise the eyes of her mind to what he owes him, whose eternal son he is. So Jesus, in a way, isn't impolite or disrespectful. Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? First, he had to obey the Father. And this is what Jesus forces Mary to do, to understand that Jesus, as God, must obey his eternal Father. And of course, this goes back to what we can talk about a little bit, just so we can understand Jesus. Do not forget, Jesus is both God and man, all right? He's both God and man, and he does things as a man. He eats, he sleeps, he drinks, he obeys his parents, he does the work around the shop with Joseph and so on. But he's also God, and he does the work of of the Father, various things, as he'll do later on, especially when he'll found his church, will select his apostles, teach and preach and so on. Here he has what we call a theandric action, an action of a God and a man. He's going about the Father's business, teaching the doctors of the law. What I would love to be able to read an explanation of what went on in those 3 days. And getting back to that again, just imagine, 3 days. They must have been mesmerized by this child. How could these men spend time with this young boy, young man, for 3 days? What did they do? Did they have all night vigils and talk around the clock? I don't know. Seems like a long time. Didn't they get hungry? Didn't they get tired? Right? More than likely, they did take a little rest here or there. How could they go on for 3 days? But you can imagine, the bulk of that time was all busy talking and discussing things. And of course, with Jesus knowing so much, and he answering all those questions that they've ever had, they must have been it was astounding. So we should think about this, my friends, when we pray this beautiful mystery, the fifth joyful mystery, the finding of the child Jesus in the temple. This is why I always say to you, people tell me that the rosary's boring. My dear friends, it's like years ago people would tell me something's boring. You could say in America that if you went to a baseball game, it's boring. How could a baseball game be boring? How could a symphony of Beethoven be boring? How can anything be boring? More than likely, the person saying it's boring is boring, and they're not using their intelligence like they should. And that's what we have to do. We have to meditate and think about the mystery of the rosary. And as we pray the Hail Marys, we think about what's being played out and narrated in the fifth joyful mystery, the finding of Jesus. Thinking about some of the things I've already talked about, Jesus talking to the doctors of the law, answering their questions, Mary looking for him, Joseph looking for Jesus. Son, why have you done this to me? You can say that quote a few times. And you can even add, of course, did you not know I must be about my Father's business? And then we pray for the fruit of the mystery. What's the fruit of the mystery? The fruit of the mystery is to be about the Father's business. What is the Father's business? The salvation of souls. Zeal for the salvation of souls. How much love God must have for every soul that he doesn't want any soul to die and go to hell, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God was willing to see his Son, Jesus, crucified on the cross, gave his only begotten Son, that all those who believe in him shall not die, but shall have eternal life. And you think about that too. And this mystery takes on tremendous meaning, and so you have great insight into your eternal salvation. And you begin to realize how every mystery can give you a particular fruit, the fruit of charity. Jesus' charity, spending all that time with these men to instruct them so they know the word of God better and they understand his mission and so forth. So this is what you do when you pray your rosary. You pray for a particular purpose, the fruit of the mystery, zeal for the salvation of souls, charity towards others to save their souls. And you recall what Our Lady said at Fatima, pray and sacrifice, for many souls will go to hell because no one prays and sacrifices for them. Don't let it be said that you didn't say the rosary for souls. Don't let it be said that. You must say the rosary. And as I tell you many times, I tell you every Sunday, in fact, morning, noon, and night, one rosary is fine. Two rosaries better. Three is very good. Morning, noon, and night to pray your holy rosary for the salvation of souls. And my friends, then you will reap a harvest of souls. Our Lady will use these rosaries to save souls. And as you know from the various horror stories that you hear about people in this world and the way they live and the sins they commit, very many people are going to lose their souls. Many are called, few are chosen. And of course, Our Lady told us that most souls go to hell because of the sins of the flesh. She said many marriages are not good, they're not of God. And what do we see in our world today? The disaster effects of sexuality, impurity. It's rampant, it's epidemic. And of course, with the advent of the computer and the iPhone and all that stuff, people are becoming addicted. They can't get that little phone out of their hands. And, you know, hopefully they're not looking at things that are not proper. But some are, and they're addicted to pornography. And this is why we need to pray. The devil is having a field day, and we need to pray to Our Lady because she is the one who will crush his head. God promised us that. God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between your seed and her seed. She will crush your head, and you will lie in wait for her heel. The only answer to today's problems is Our Lady. That's why she came to Fatima. The Fatima message is the antidote for all the problems of our world. If we pray the rosary and sacrifice, we will keep God's commandments. We will do the Father's will. We will be happy, and we will save many, many souls. May the Lord bless you.